Hello and welcome to episode 62 of the Drive the Green podcast. I'm your host, Matty B, joined once again by Bronell and Harv. In this episode, we have fellow Canadian, long drive world champion, and current Mackenzie Tour player, Jamie Sadlowski, on the show. We're also going to recap Max Homa's first career victory at the Wells Fargo. We're going to get in the news as we always do. We'll get into picks. Really excited for this interview. Before we get started, though, just wanted to thank our sponsor, Player Golf, PLYRGolf.com. Use the promo code DRIVETHEGREEN for 30% off your order. Before we get into it, though, boys, we've got lots of stuff to talk about. I kind of want to do the interview first this week because it was awesome.
He's a good guy, yeah.
But before we get into that, we got to talk about our weeks.
Yep.
Had a chance to get out again last week. It was an okay round.
You went solo.
I went solo. The boys went on elsewhere. I went solo.
We played twice since the last pod.
Yeah, that's true. You guys have. Yep. Not only did I not go with you guys, I went by myself. Kind of liberating, but for a guy who likes to talk, it's not all that liberating.
I have no problem. I have no issues with playing golf by myself.
Yeah, well, you don't.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to golf by yourself?
When I'm playing by myself, it has to be fast. It can't be anybody in front or else I'm skipping holes.
Yeah. And
because I'm not just waiting around by myself.
I found like I wasn't giving it. I think I even said this to you guys. You're rushing. Like I didn't have anyone in front of myself. So I knew I was looking at like an hour and 45 minute round. So I'm like the first four holes, I was rushing.
It takes a while to get into the groove of playing by yourself. Because you want to rush because you don't want to be slow. And you know you're going to play fast, so you just want to play fast as possible. But just playing normal, it's two hours tops by yourself if there's no one in front of you.
Front nine, not the greatest. First couple holes stunk. And then once I caught the groove and on the back, it's like, okay, just the par train. I'm not a big scorer. So
it not was a big birdie guy, no.
Not a big birdie guy. A lot of pars. So, yeah, that was fun. Other than that... to give myself an age, I had a kid's birthday party this week. Kid turned 7, so that's fun, I guess.
Practically in high school.
Yeah.
Oh boy, dating yourself. Who's the oldest one here?
Well, I have the oldest children. You are oldest by a few, to 10 to a decade.
I don't think it's a full year.
I don't think it's a full year. But more importantly, are you on the piss?
No, 8 days. 8 days clean and sober.
8 days, yeah.
Clean and sober.
Doing the math, you were a whole week off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Clean and sober.
And to celebrate, I don't know if you have anything else, Bruno.
Oh, I was just going to say, I want to apologize because I won't have much input for tonight.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
So I was going to say to celebrate Harv's, what's the word I'm looking
sobriety.
For?
Sobriety.
I was going to say abstinence, but that's a given. You're married. Harv is celebrating his sobriety by running the pod this week.
Yep.
I did the research instead of just the pick research that I normally do.
Bronell, for the first Monday in, 61 weeks, actually had to work.
Oh, no, I always have to work, but I actually had to go outside and work.
Oh, outside. Oh. Yeah, so he had to go nice outside day, and work. Nice
day, should have been golfing today.
Should have been golfing. SPG.
Yeah, contrary to popular belief, SPFG. These guys do the notes, I just read them. So Harv is going to do the notes and read them this week. This should be fun.
Plus, we golfed yesterday during the final round. So
I watched the final round. You guys.
So you'll have the witty input this week.
Oh yeah,
we're banking that on you.
It's gonna be the wittiest.
Yeah,
I'm still mad about that bunker.
Should we talk about that? Yeah, drivable par 4 at our local course, and Bronell.
I'm 4 over through 16.
Yeah, and then he hits it to the greenside bunker. Which, for whatever reason, they decided to re-sand all the bunkers this year.
There's sand everywhere.
Well, it took them 3 shots to get out of said bunker.
And the most aggressive rake job.
Slams, F-bombs.
I didn't throw a club, though, I don't think, did I?
No. You broke a rake. Threw it in the woods.
Threw it in the woods.
Well, it's made of wood, so I just wanted to...
So a good round ruined... With 2 holes left.
Yeah. 5 shots from 15 yards. Those are fun.
Nothing worse than those holes.
It's the bunkers are embarrassing, to say the least.
Yeah.
Should we get into this?
Yeah, well, you can get into it. Okay. Give us some stats.
You wanted stats? Oh, jeez. So it was the Wells Fargo Championship, I think.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to take a hot start.
Played at Quail Hollow.
Yeah, all the stats.
Which is in North Carolina. My biggest takeaway, like, I love that golf course. Like, that is an awesome golf course.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a fantastic one. I love 18. With the creek running along the side.
Except.
I got no problem with that course being a major championship.
Yeah, I even wrote down 18's a great finishing hole. Like, when the gallery's there, it's amazing. But they showed a picture of it, just like Quail Hollow with no gallery. There's all the bailout to the left.
All of it.
Like, you could just do whatever you want. It's like a second fairway over there. You just hit it over there.
Even with the gallery there, I think it was Duffner hit in the water, but Joel Damon and, like, the last three groups had one guy in each of the last three groups that shanked it off to the left. And it's like, oh, that's going in the creek. Nope, it just goes lands safely on the other side.
Yeah, and then you just play it from there.
Yeah, Damon did that.
Yeah. But let's not gloss over the fact. Quail Hollow is a great golf course, but a true underdog story in Max Homa winning a tournament. Guys, I mean, for those active on following golfers on social media, he's one of the best follows because
I would say he is the best. Yeah. For, like,
whether he's chirping himself, chirping other people,
he's up there.
Just in general being funny, awesome, and so he's very well liked. And then all the shit that he had to go through in 2017. Having one of the worst seasons in tour history.
He missed 15 of 17 cuts.
Yeah. So that, then he goes to the web, so bad. does pretty well to get his card back. And then this year, like, just, I love, this is yet another guy winning for the first time on tour where you just, all you have to do is log on to Twitter and see all these guys congratulating them. It's like they all support each other, all cheer for the good guys on tour.
Well, didn't we just check there was, what, 6-7 first-time winners so far this year?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, that's pretty crazy. But back to the social media thing, like, the reason I said he's the best is because he does it with, like, just comments and being a nobody. Like, he is a nobody. He's not a nobody anymore. But, like, if, like, people like Bubba or people like Phil didn't have the resumes they have, they'd have no followers. Like, their stuff is only good because of
who they are.
Who they are now. Like, this guy's a nobody. And, like, some of his tweets, like that one that's like, there's more threes in this basketball game than a dive bar on a Wednesday or something like that. Like, that's an unbelievable tweet.
There was a, what was the other one that he had something about they should be checking for STDs or something like that. What was it?
Shinnecock. They should be checking Shinnecock for STDs because it screwed so many people today.
that's what it was. Like, those are good tweets.
Even his tweet last night about how he hadn't watched Game of Thrones yet, but also he didn't care because he just won $1.4 million or something like that.
Well, and he's a no-laying-up guy. We like no-laying-up here. We emulate ourselves, loosely based. But he was a no-laying-up guy, and they were talking about how last year at the web event, he missed the cut at it, and No Laying Up had a booth there and $1 beers. And then he threw on a bucket hat and went and drank $1 beers there. And then he tweeted something like, now that I've won a tournament, I would have paid $2 for the first one, but a deal's a deal. I'm taking the rest of them at a buck.
Yeah, and he had that other tweet about, like, there's nothing, the worst part about missing a cut is having to sit in the middle seat on the flight home or something like that on a Saturday. Not planning to fly that day.
Yeah, it's just, it's hard. And then and then our boy Joel Damon finishes second. So it's pretty much straight up drive the green versus no laying up in this tournament. Let's be real. And Joel Damon didn't win the tournament, finished solo second, and then afterwards got interviewed. And he's like, oh, do you feel bad? Well, obviously I feel bad. But he's like, this is like $500,000 bigger than the next check, highest check I've ever cashed. I think I'm okay.
$850,000.
Yeah. And then he got on the video.
Sitting coach.
Yeah, he was on the video with, or FaceTiming with Homa's fiance, and he's like, yeah, now you can pay for the wedding.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like,
Joel Damon's an all-around good guy.
Yeah.
Do you see he was sitting coach and on the flight?
Saving some pennies.
On the flight out of Wells Fargo, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, 1.4 million, like, this one had a pretty big purse. Like, that's a that's up there for a non-major, we're not going to go down that road again. Yeah, but
that's why I brought it up.
He also, Home also jumped 103 spots in the FedEx Cup race. He's 35th now, I believe. I think he's 138 going in, so. Well, I guess right there. Yeah, 35th.
Yeah, and we talked about last week, a couple points here. We talked last week about the dog's breakfast of a leaderboard. This week had an average field, but the cream rose to the crop. I say this every time, cream to the crop.
Cream rose to the top. Yep.
Wow. Have another.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm on three, but.
I mean.
CLs, though.
Justin Rose with the old reverse jinx on himself at the start of the week, saying he had no idea how he was going to play this week. Meh. Solo third.
Yeah.
And I mean, Sergio's in there. Ricky's in there. Casey. I mean, Ricky Duffner.
Great weekend.
Duffner kind of.
Dude wiped himself, yeah.
I was going to say, is that going to be it, probably?
I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll get there.
So, I mean, Damon didn't have... He had a weekend to forget, too.
Wow.
Like 70-70.
It's not like he played bad, though.
Yeah.
Well, what was that video of him, like, finally hitting a fairway and, like, giving it, like, the...
Yeah. The arms out. Yeah.
But Homa just played a lot better than him on Sunday. I mean,
as good,
he made the putts.
As good as the leaderboard is, this was actually great story coming out of it. But it was one of those tournaments that we all dread where it's over with five holes left and there's very little, you know, drama at the end. So it was great for watching them talk about Homa's history and, you know, his road. Cause they played that angle big time, but at the same time, from an actual watching perspective, there wasn't anything there. Like Damon salvaged a one under round, but he was, I think he shot three over on the front. I think it was. So he was out of it, and then it was a matter of if Rose could catch up. Oh, Damon, oh, because he bogeyed 9 and 11, and then he was four shots back.
Yeah.
So that kind of took him out of it, but.
And Duffner, like, that hat he was wearing, like the rope, like the that guy's hats game is second to none.
Yeah, we said that last week.
I'm pretty sure he wore that Corona rope hat all week, though.
Yeah.
Maybe. But one thing I got written down here, I think we got to try harder to get that guy on the podcast. Like, he might be my number one guy.
He's your new guy?
To get on the podcast and interview.
He's got to be in Hamilton. So, we'll get a little FaceTime.
He should be there, yeah.
Yeah, I think that guy's fantastic, and he should be on. Another guy who's already been on, and just missed out on the top 10. I think it's time to bring up Jimmy Hardkay.
Yep.
Because...
Big week for him.
Hardkay, back-to-back T13s, and if he didn't bogey...
Bogey 18.
Bogeyed 18 to be T8. And we were... I was watching, and then I apologize, Jim. It was me. Because I said, as long as Hardkay doesn't bogey 18, he's finishing top 10 this week.
You Bronell jinxed him.
Yeah, I Bronell jinxed him.
And I mean...
And he bogeyed. Fairway bunker.
Yeah.
Got him. And but, I mean, the guy's played very well, and now he's inside the top 125.
And Rory, everyone thought Rory was going to run away with this thing, I think.
Yeah, 66 for Thursday, and I guess he was, tied for the lead after Thursday?
Yeah, he was.
So, yeah, lots of, like we say, a lot on the leaderboard to talk about.
Wow, Rory was two over on Sunday.
Hey. Who we should talk about is Brendan Todd.
Yeah, Toddy.
Who made headlines earlier for calling Bryson DeChambeau a lunatic or a nincompoop or whatever you want to say, whatever word he used. And that guy's had a pretty tough road lately. He missed 34 of 36 tournaments he played in the last 2 years. Missed the cut in 34 of them.
Mm-hmm.
This year he's made 4 of 5 cuts and was T18 here.
He might be better than Bryson right now.
Maybe better than Spieth.
Maybe. One other thing that I was happy to see was they were talking about how Patrick Reed was starting to find his game.
Yeah.
And then
Weekend to forget.
And then Sunday happened.
What did he shoot on Sunday?
I think it started with an 8.
A 74.
Oh.
3 over on Sunday, and he started... Nope, just...
Just a bunch of bogeys.
Yeah, just a bunch of bogeys on the back. 38.
Oh, well, couldn't happen to a better guy. What else did I put here? It was just an overall good week for Friends of the Pod.
Yep.
Like,
so I, every PGA Tour, love the thing about golf. My favorite part probably is the personalized leaderboard. So I was going to say Friends of the Pod doing very well, the top half, the bottom half, not so much. Cause we had, I think 5 or 6 missed cuts, but we had 4 guys way up there.
So is our Friend of the Pod group getting too big?
I think that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
It can never be too big.
Yeah.
One other interesting guy I had here was Doc Redman. You guys know who that is?
Can't say that I do.
I've chewed a lot of Redman in my days. But,
full name, no. Doc Hudspeth Redman.
That's made up.
No, it's Hudspeth. Hudspeth is his full name.
Guy's got a lot of chutzpah.
He was...
Is that it?
Does he have a car?
Is that racist? Hutzpah. Or, like, prejudice?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think that's a Jewish thing, but anyways. It is. Sponsor's exemption into this tournament. He's toiling away on the Latino Tour right now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. But he's from Charlotte. Played at Duke, I think.
Yeah, chutzpah means fearlessness.
So that's how you pronounce that word?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chutzpah.
Anyways, he finished 2 for 18th, 100K this week. So... pretty good for him being a sponsor exemption. Maybe it gets him another one. But he was like a standout college player. He won the U.S. Amateur in 2017. Turned pro. Forfeited his entry into the U.S. Open and British Open that year for 2018 because he turned pro. And then he's no longer the amateur. And he's kind of not been so hot since. But hey, T18 here. Who knows what happens next.
Around. No better time than now.
I just love when no-name guys make a splash and make a bunch of money in a tournament. Yeah, that was the best.
The best is guys exactly like Max Homa.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think
we've like seen it. We've
Keith
seen it a
Mitchell,
lot.
CT Pan, Cam Champ. Well, like, maybe not Cam Martin Champ because he hasn't toiled away as much. Kevin Tweed, Martin Trainer. There's so many.
But even guys
Adam
like
Long,
Joel Damon's solo second, Roger Sloan solo second,
Corey Connors.
Corey Connors. Those guys, even just a solo second, is probably getting you top 125 into next year. Like, just that one
plus
that one time,
almost $1 million.
Yeah. And so that's what I mean is changes guys' lives, and it shows how good the tour is when always it seems like it's a rotational
thing. Well, I think it's we talked about it a little bit with Jamie there, like. Guys are just trusting the process and sticking to it. Whereas, like, we always talk about Tiger in the early 2000s. It was like Tiger and Duvall and Love. Like, it was like 6 guys winning all the tournaments. But that's sort of changing now.
I just love these underdogs. Like, I think if it's between a Max Homa or a guy like that and like a superstar that I like. Down the stretch, I'm cheering for the underdog all day long right now.
Come on.
Yeah, I call. Like, all in.
Come on.
All in.
Who's your favorite golfer?
Phil.
I don't know. I don't even have a favorite.
Okay, so Phil. Say it's Phil.
Yeah, so if it's Phil.
Phil and Homa are
if
in
it's
the final.
Phil and Doc Redman next week in the final, like, neither of them are in the, or Phil
what about
isn't playing, but.
Tony Romo and Phil.
Fuck Tony Romo.
I got that in the news. I got a good thing tangent to go off on that.
But if it's Phil coming down the stretch with, you know, obviously a Canadian, I'm cheering for Roger Sloan or Silverman ahead of Phil.
If it's Rory and anyone, I'm cheering for Rory. Or DJ and anyone, I'm cheering for DJ.
Yeah.
Just them.
Yeah.
What about Friends of the Pod?
I'm still cheering for my horses.
You're still
horses
going
first, eh?
They
horses,
have so many ponies. Wins and so much money already. They don't need it. That's the thing. They don't need it.
I will, if it's a friend of the pod versus a horse, I'll cheer for friend of the pod.
Versus
but
Tiger.
Not Tiger. we had this conversation once because I asked you.
Who was Scott Stallings against not too long ago? When Scott Stallings was in the final group.
Last week.
It was him and Mullinax. Oh, yeah. that was me cheering for, my DK
your picks
my picks.
No, but we had this conversation once about a Canadian versus Tiger. No, it was Connors and Connors and Tiger were in it.
Valspar last year,
something like that.
I don't know. I'd have a hard time cheering. Canadians.
And you were cheering. And you were cheering for Tiger. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Some speaking of Phil, notable missed cuts, Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in picks, but
he's not my favorite anymore.
Other not so notable, but kind of a water wet situation. Fathauer missed the cut.
Oh, he's still around.
Just he was like second to dead last. So
still there. Gary Woodland had to pull out too.
Yeah.
Other than that, Canadians, Hadwin, 38th. Nick Taylor, just cashed another 20K check. Just what he does. Yep. 20 to 70K every week.
He's the Canadian Chucky Three Sticks. Yep.
Just, sure is.
You do that for 20 years, you're making $10 million bucks. Who cares?
Yep.
Just what you're doing. Other than those two, Svensson missed the cut right on the number. Sloan was a couple off. Silverman was a few more. Hearn and Hughes, not so hot. But five missed cuts, two guys made it.
Well, like another chance this week, but.
Yep.
But yeah, that's what I had for the Wells Fargo.
He did pretty well.
Well, what about Ace's birthday shots of the week?
Oh, yeah, boy.
Did you do them?
No.
Well, no Aces, no birthdays, no shots of the week?
Well, Chip McDaniels had an ace in the
Money that's qualifier today.
Today.
Yeah.
Birthdays, we know it was Brooke's birthday on Friday, and it was Rory's birthday on Saturday.
Yeah, they sang happy birthday to him on the first tee, hey?
Yeah. Max Homa played with Rory on his birthday.
And they sang happy birthday to him.
That's neat.
The crowd did. Why?
We have to get to, you don't have a shot of the week.
Well, I have a shot of the week, absolutely.
Yeah, he has one, I know he does, and so do I.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shots of the week, this should be everyone's shot of the week. Rory's punch cut to like 8 feet.
Yeah. And he had no through idea. The trees. No idea. He's like, I don't even know.
What was that other Rory shot that was on there, though?
The oh, off the divot.
Cut. Yeah.
Oh, that was divot mine. One. Oh, yeah. That was yours?
Yeah.
That divot one. That's probably better than the punch cut.
I don't think that's that tough of a shot.
It like was sitting on top of a
sitting
divot.
Sitting on a divot, you're still hitting ball first and it's going.
It wasn't a divot. It was a replaced divot with a soft beaver tail on top.
Yeah. No, I thought it was the beaver tail.
Yeah, the beaver tail.
Not in a divot.
Not in a divot.
Like, just like
it was someone it was hit a fairway. Shot before.
It was on a loose piece of.
It landed there, and then his ball was on top of that divot. I don't think that's.
And it was loose. It wasn't.
You don't think that's hard?
No.
Going back in.
Not for those guys. Not at all.
I thought it was hard, too.
Like, he would just hit here. If the ball was there, he would just hit into the divot as if it was just grass. Gone.
Yeah.
Now, if you hit it back there, it would have went like 4 feet, but he didn't because he's whatever number four in the world or whatever he is. And I mean, he hit it to what, an inch? It was a great shot, don't get me wrong, but.
Yeah.
Do you have a shot of the week?
No, I don't.
Because there's no aces. Well, you usually have a bad shot for your shot.
Yeah. I was trying to. I usually, if there's no aces, no welcome to the clubs, I'll try to marry it, like you say, with shitty shots. Dude wipes, you shat yourself.
Yeah.
So then I immediately thought, Mr. Dude Wipes, Duffner, stunk up on Sunday, and he hit it in the drink on 18. Problem is 18, bad shot of the week, doesn't really turn the tournament around because he had already lost it.
Yeah.
So then I was really grasping for straws, couldn't really find it. Then I thought about giving Dude Wipes to Joel Damon because he couldn't do it, but he's our buddy. And he's wearing blue pants. Can't do it. He also, fun fact, switched from a hat to a bucket hat at the turn. I don't know if you guys knew that, but
sun was getting out.
Yeah, sun was out.
He was must be like himself. Ollie where the brim was bugging him.
I mean, yeah, there was a lot of Dude Wipes to go around. Like Rory and Pat Perez had bad Sundays. I thought about bringing them in. I don't have one.
I mean, Rory's you can give it to Rory on Sunday for sure.
But. So, a lot of Dude Wipes. I don't have a shot of it.
You didn't want to do Ricky's putt in for eagle from off the green?
Not cool enough.
Okay.
So, this is my first week without a shot of the week.
Wow. Write it down.
Can I take the ace? F-62. Can I take the Monday ace?
No.
Maybe next week.
You can't.
All right.
Too bad.
Harv, what do you got for in the news?
Whole page worth.
Jeez.
I prepped the in the news. Start with a couple from Brooks this week. Him and Brandel are at it again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Brandel called him out again or whatever, and then...
Or didn't.
Didn't say anything. Didn't give him any credit or love or whatever you want to call it. And then Brooks retweeted, like, a shirt with Brandel Chamblee's face on it with a clown nose on it.
Yeah.
So, oh, like the Roger Goodell one?
Yeah, that, yeah. So they're going back and forth, obviously. Or he liked the tweet that someone tweeted about it. Anyways. Ooh. But in a lighter note, today Brooks was at in New York, obviously for a PGA Tour, PGA Championship event.
Yeah.
With Michelob Ultra, where he had to hit a shot to like a garbage barge with a green on it.
Yeah.
And if he hit it on the barge, like everyone there got free beer or something like that. And it took him two shots, but he pulled it off.
Two shots.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just two.
Just two. I mean, it wasn't far. It was, I don't know, 150 yards.
A full swing, though.
Full swing, yeah. 150, 140 yards, but it was pretty cool to see.
What about the Canadian Open news today about Brooks?
Oh, yeah, you got that in there?
Yeah, I have a whole little thing on... We should probably start talking about the fact we're going to the Canadian Open.
Oh, we have mentioned it before.
But we mentioned it many times. I
thought we should talk about it a little in depth. It's only a month away.
Talk about it right now.
Okay.
So get into it. Skip it.
Brooks and Bubba today, right?
Brooks and Bubba added to the Canadian Open. DJ Rory already there. What are we,
that's enough for me. I mean, that plus all the Canadians, plus the friends of the pod, like that's stacked.
Stacked field.
Plus, Kuchar's probably there because he's a RBC guy, so
yeah, it's,
we can that, maybe that hit him up.
That didn't need to be mentioned.
Well, I was just thinking maybe we shake him down for some money since it works.
Still on that, eh?
We can blackmail that guy for some money. The guy just pays off everyone and doesn't deserve it, so.
Might as well, yeah, ask him for shiny shoes and then ask
doesn't deserve it. The guy single-handedly turned his career around.
Okay, whatever.
We won't single-handedly.
But I was just wondering, like.
I agree.
Whatever
we told him worked.
What do we got planned for that? We're going to the Canadian Open.
Oh,
maybe a baseball game.
Don't you worry. I got lots.
We're hitting the links a couple times
too. Golfing a couple times, and I mean all the amazing content that we're going to produce there.
Yeah. So let's not forget Florida Georgia Line on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a big week for Drive the Green for
yeah.
That the reminds old content me, machine.
Didn't talk about it in my week. Went to Thomas Rhett concert on Friday night. Thomas Rhett was in these parts.
Yeah.
Did you know, fun fact, okay. He wrote Round Here for Florida Georgia Line.
That's not that fun of a fact, but...
Did they write any of their own songs since their first album?
No, but Thomas Rhett wrote one of them.
They never wrote any.
Anyways.
Thought it was a fun fact. Yeah, all types of content coming. Yeah.
What about the other tournament?
What other tournament?
In 2 weeks.
Oh,
our
yeah.
Own tournament.
No.
The PGA Championship. DTG is going to be at.
Yeah, DTG is going to be at the PGA Championship as well. We got lots of fun things coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
So Canadian Open is 2 weeks after the PGA. There's a stopgap tournament in between the two.
Early June, yeah. Second week of June is the PGA is the Canadian Open. Yeah.
All right, Harv, what else you got?
I wanted to pull up the picture of the Tony Romo prop bets.
Oh, yeah.
Get your guys' thoughts on those. I'm just pulling them up
here.
Yeah,
so Tony Romo's in the AT&T Byron Nelson this week. And as a result, a lot of prop bets coming out, which they should have these every week.
Yes.
For every guy?
Yeah, it was one.
Just for like, give me a potpourri of
random dudes.
Yeah.
Like, is Cam Champ going to drive it over under 329.5 yards this week?
Yeah.
Right. Will Anders Albertsen be on TV at all?
Yeah.
Ever. No. Ever. That's a lifetime bet. But I wanted to get your guys' take on the prop bets for Tony Romo.
Yeah. All right. Hit me. Just to let you know, I saw you post this in our let's call it content
chat. I did it.
Chat.
Yeah.
But whatever.
You did it?
Yeah.
I did. I purposely saw the first one, and then I immediately exited because I wanted these all to be a surprise.
So first one is cool. The easy one. Will Tony Romo make the cut?
No. Absolutely.
No, and you're not winning much money if you take the no. But he's not, so it's free money there.
What is it, though?
It's yes is plus 1,800, and no is minus 6,600.
Oh! I don't know, man. Would you 66 to win one?
You have to take the yes. If you're playing that, if you're taking that bet, you have to take the yes.
Yeah, there's no way you can. There's no way on earth you would take minus 6,600 on anything. Not
no,
even worth
no.
it.
No. So you, if it. You're taking that bet, you have to throw the on the long shot there.
Yep.
Next one. How many shots will Tony Romo miss the cut by? Over, under 11.5.
I was going to say 15, so push. I guess I got over. Push on 11 and a half?
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
I think it's over on that for sure. Last one he played, he missed by 17.
I think he shoots 80-80. So what's that? No, probably 16 80. Over, and the cut's around even.
Yeah. This one I think's interesting, like a good bet. Highest score on any hole, over under 7.5.
Under.
I think he's only. I don't think he's getting a snowman.
Okay.
He's not getting a snowman. You think he's going to triple a par five?
I could see it. Absolutely. I think that's a tough bet.
Who triples par five?
I will give you that is
the amateurs hardest. All the time.
Yeah. I would say.
I've never tripled a par five in my life.
Okay.
And you just quadrupled a par four that we were talking about earlier?
No, I only doubled it.
Here's another good one. Lowest score in any hole. 2.5 over under 2.5.
You got to think he makes a deuce on a par three. That's he only got two rounds to do it though.
That's a tough bet.
He's only got two rounds to do it, and yeah. I would say both of those are good bets.
I'd go no for the birdie, but I would go under 7.5.
So you go over on the 2.5, but under the 7.5.
Yeah.
Okay. We should probably write these down.
We will.
Should we make a bunch of wagers here this week?
Yeah. We'll remember these and
let's hammer these.
We'll pull the audio next.
What's in
week.
The DTG slush fund?
What's in the kitty?
Lowest score in any round, over under 75. They got
77.
That's you think is lowest score?
Yeah.
So you're going over on 75?
Yeah.
I think you got to take over on that all day.
Push
on that, eh?
It's not 74 and a half.
It's 75.
75. It says. Yeah. That's
stupid bet.
Yeah, I know. That's got to be called 75.5. We're gonna change.
So you're telling me there's an over under without a half point?
Yeah, apparently. What score will Tony Romo record on hole one in round one?
Six.
Well, no. Birdie or better, 13 over four.
13-4. Yep.
13-4. Par 5-6. Bogey or worse, 37-20.
Wow, it's a weird. Those are some odd odds. But
yeah,
I'd
take bogey or worse.
I'd take bogey or worse for sure for double your money.
I think he slams a par in there first hole.
That's a lot of credit.
Yeah, okay.
All right, those are some good bets.
Well, there's one more.
Oh, one more.
Will Tony Romo finish in last place?
No.
Yes.
No.
Minus 130. No. Even money.
No.
Even money.
Yeah.
I think you take no for even money. Yeah. No, yep. Gotta be someone with a bad. Do WDs count?
No, if you think he's shooting 80-80, no one on tour is shooting two rounds in the 80s.
You'd be surprised.
I think you take no for even money for sure.
Have you ever heard of hedging bets? That's what I'm doing, man.
Okay.
I'll bet you right now he's not. I bet you right now he's lost.
Okay. For how much? What's the bet? One of your Canadian tunies?
How about a case of Coors Slice? The new orange Coors Lights?
No.
Which look delicious.
I bet you they're effing terrible.
I wouldn't even want to win that.
That's exactly why I bet it. So I can get the case either way.
Yeah, exactly. You're either paying for
your house and give it right back to me.
So the Tony Romo thing led me into a question for you guys. Thoughts on celebrity sponsors exemptions?
Good or bad? It's always a hot topic. I actually don't think it's a bad thing.
Here and there, like maybe like three a year.
Like some of the notable
once in a while.
Some of the notable ones, obviously, been Steph Curry,
Webb,
Jake Owen,
yeah,
Webb,
Brittany Lincecum.
Was that a PGA tournament?
Yeah, it was the team tournament or whatever it was. Yeah. QBC right. Shootout, QBE
yeah.
Shootout.
Yeah,
and Tony Romo's two times now.
Yeah, Tony's have been PGA. Steph and Jake Owen are both Webs, though. I actually don't mind it because I know Wheatcroft, we brought that up. I don't think we brought it up with him, but he brought it up on Twitter. People are paying to see these people, and it's up to the tournament. Like, they're not taking a spot away.
Yes, they are.
They're taking a spot away, but the tournament gets to decide who goes there.
They're taking a spot away from a pro who could be a Max Homa.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to get to play.
Don't have a problem with it at all.
See, if that's the case, why don't other sports do it? Why don't they let Drake play for the Raptors?
They're not individual sports.
In garbage time, what?
Oh, I agree.
It's less.
Drake should play for the Raptors.
It means less for Drake to play for the Raptors than for Tony Romo to take a spot from a guy trying to earn a living.
Garbage time will give you it, but not in this. You can give it to everyone. So you're saying do away with sponsors exemptions is what you're saying.
Yeah, like you could have those guys as the tournament host. They don't have to play in the tournament.
But so the argument is to get rid of them altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Because sponsors exemption could be now, also Tony other Romo, golfers who are taking spots away from other golfers.
Yeah, pro golfers. Celebrity sponsors exemption's so gone.
In this instance, we just talked about it, Doc Redman, sponsors exemption. He took a spot away from a guy who's trying to make it there and he just got to be in it. You're saying do away with
but
sponsors
he's a pro golfer. I'm saying do away with celebrity sponsor exemptions.
I think it's the same thing. Mm. It's a guy who's didn't earn his way there, got to play in it.
Why not just have an extra spot for him and have it at 144? I guess it's
have an extra
groups,
guy.
But that's the groups.
Yeah.
Or do three and just have another group.
But that would be my argument is you got to do away with them altogether.
I would be totally okay with them if it didn't take away from a spot from a guy. Like the, what's that tournament, Arnold Palmer? Well, those three guys can just play whenever.
Yeah.
That's anytime. Fine. That's fine.
Or the Masters. The Masters guys don't take away from other people playing in the tournament.
No, just, correct.
They get to go every year.
Yeah. That's I'm fine with that, but taking away a spot, I don't think it's fair to those guys.
Plus, there should be a 10 to 15 handicap player playing in every tournament just to see how bad they would do.
I agree.
On those tours.
Completely guy off the street.
Just anyone.
They should have a Monday qualifier for anyone who wants to be in it, and they should have like five of them in advance.
I was going to say they should have like the course that hosts it just gets to send like their best amateur.
Yeah.
And just gets to play. He can't win any money, but he doesn't take away a spot.
Yeah.
But just humble these guys.
Good luck.
At that course. At that course, or just have open qualifiers. If you want to play in this tournament, you come to the open qualifier, and the one guy that wins gets to play in the tournament. Let's see how he does.
The Waterbury Open.
But it doesn't take away.
Yeah, he's just in it.
Just in it. Yep. Can't win any money, but you get to say you played in a
PGA. Oh, I think you can win money.
Well, you can if you're an amateur. If you're an amateur, you can't win money.
No.
It's our rule. We can do whatever we want.
Well,
if the guy somehow makes the cut.
Somewhat realistic.
This is a fantasy.
If you can make, let's not pretend this guy's finishing dead last, so you can say he can win money, because he ain't making the cut.
Well, you never know. Anyways, that's where I wanted to go on that.
Back-to-back career rounds, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. Other news, you guys see that 14-year-old kid make the cut on the European Tour?
Yeah.
Impressive.
Made birdie on 18 to make the cut.
Impressive. How'd he finish?
I don't know. Not good.
In the 50s,
The story lost its luster
after he made the cut. They just kind of I never saw anything else.
He's 14.
Didn't bother. It's his news. Didn't bother to follow up to see how the guy did.
Couple Tiger ones here. Obviously, got the Medal of Freedom today. It was all over the news.
Yeah.
From his buddy.
From his buddy.
Wow. What is he?
They're chums. I'm sure.
They acquaintances? I think they're friends.
Yeah. Tiger don't care. Got another medal of the deal.
Yeah.
His mom and kids. Kids did not look happy to be there.
No. That actor of a daughter.
Exactly. Other Tiger one. Did you guys see that thing about that Bubba said about how Tiger blocks his number all the time?
Love it.
That just made me laugh, because of course he does.
Just like his little brother or
he
something.
Just changes his number all the time. Not even blocks it. Full on changes his number.
Because Bubba's like constantly
spamming him. Bubba said that he just like, he's weird on this to like his people that he hasn't gone. He'll just like text him like a picture of like his food and be like, eating steak tonight. And be like, if he's a steak, like, just crushed a bottle of water or something like that. So he's like, so Tiger generally blocks me after a couple weeks. But he's like, but then we get on like a Ryder Cup or a President's Cup team and everyone has to give out their numbers again. So we come back in because we have group chats about the event. But he's like, it doesn't last long.
Yeah, I find that somewhere in the middle of
that's funny
stretching the truth or not. If he actually would change his number just because of Bubba?
Probably not. Yeah. He said, I think even Bubba said he just changes it
because like
that's who he is. Like, he just doesn't want too many people having his number. But
do you think he keeps his old number in phones just to see, just for like casual go back and looks?
I would say Tiger of the early 2000s probably kept his old phones, maybe his burner phones or whatever.
Not even just a burner.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if you have a phone and you get a new, complete new number and the phone, if you just like keep that one going.
Just to see what sort of crap comes in.
Yeah.
Yep, maybe. Who's got it? Who's hitting me up for money? Toucans probably text him a few times asking for money.
Come on.
But
here's a question. How many guys ask for Toucan next year? I would.
At the Mayakoba Classic?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you ask for him?
I bet you he's in the tournament again.
Yeah. I bet you someone asks him to be a part of it. Why not?
Man. Would you though? I'd be a little leery. What if I do well? Ironclad, he shakes me down.
Ironclad contract next year.
Oh yeah,
you're so wrong on this. It's not even funny. <Ironclad. laughs>
So wrong. What if he shakes me down? Like what? So wrong. What if I win?
You're beyond wrong.
They had a contract. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah, they did.
But whatever, it's done and passed. Last Tiger thing we meant to talk about. Oh no, a couple more Tiger ones.
Oh boy,
lots of Tiger stuff.
Yeah,
every week.
He's in. Yeah. Did you hear the story about how he stiffed Harold Varner on an autograph when Varner was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
And then they played together, I think, this week, and Varner brought it up, and Tiger was like, well, you probably wouldn't be here if I gave you that autograph, because you probably pissed off.
Together.
No, but they had like a practice round, they had event together or something. Yeah. He's like, you probably wouldn't be a professional golfer if it wasn't for that. Probably motivated you to be good.
You're welcome.
Yeah, basically is what Tiger said was, you're welcome. And the last Tiger one, we meant to talk about it last week. Who would you guys cast as Tiger Woods in a Tiger Woods golf movie?
The old biopic.
Yeah. My very, very first thought, which in reality makes no sense, was Denzel, but that doesn't even make sense.
Okay.
Not even the right sweet spot for Denzel, but...
I thought you were going to say Will Smith, for sure.
Well... That's where I'm going. That's why I'm saying Denzel doesn't fit, because Will Smith is the answer.
I guess it depends. Like, cause do you go like with like a younger guy, like whatever his name,
Michael
like
B.
Mike Parker B. Jordan or something? That's exactly what I was thinking of. But
Donald Glover,
or Donald Glover? Nah, Michael B. Jordan's probably Tiger Woods.
Or do you go like a Don Cheadle or something?
Because
he's like older. I don't know. Those are just kind of the two guys.
I'm going Matt Damon.
Tom Holland. Tom Holland, yeah.
Oh, I thought you guys were going to go Robert Downey Jr. because he's done it before.
Yeah. But, one of his best movies.
Oh, was nominated for an Oscar for that movie.
Yeah, I still can't believe that movie was nominated for an Oscar. Tropic Thunder.
Other news? Still got...
Nice
sliding that in unnoticed. Nope. I don't think so, man.
Avengers Endgame.
Jesus. Lighter note. Well, maybe not lighter. Gary Allen.
Yeah.
Crashed a golf cart and then just straight up said he's been day drinking all day.
Gary Allen? Like he... singing songs about rain. Don't go chasing aeroplanes? Is that one?
Yep.
It's
the country. Aeroplanes, but...
No, he says aeroplanes. Listen to it.
Country. Oh, did we find her song? Anyways, yeah. Just straight up said he's been drinking all day. It was hot out. Crashed it right into a bunker.
Anyway. That's a great lead-in to Sadlowski. We're getting in the interview here right away. Yeah, his weirdest moment.
Well, I was gonna ask you guys, have you ever been in like a golf cart crash or seen it in your group?
I have. One of my work functions... 6 years ago, we were at a golf course, and at our home course now, on number 7, they have posts across the walking bridge, because in my group, I was there, one of the guys who was wasted tried to drive across that walking bridge and put a cart in the creek.
Oh, that's picture in the clubhouse, yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason why those posts exist. Oh, yeah. I was at that tournament in that group.
Wow. I've actually been involved in two.
One you were driving.
One I was driving. One, it was just in our group. The one in our group, I don't know, Gary Allen type situation. And all of a sudden, like, I was in the group behind, but we were playing as, like, an eightsome. And we just come up over the hill, and this cart is in the bunker, and there's, like, a rake, like, jammed in. And the wheels are just spinning because the rake's, like, jammed in, like, on the accelerator. And the wheels are just spinning in the sand. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. Just played through.
Yeah. Moved on. This up.
Yeah. The other one that I was actually driving this, can't believe I'm telling you the story, it's actually quite embarrassing. I was actually golfing with my wife, And she wasn't even golfing.
That's embarrassing.
She was just riding in the cart. We just had nothing to do up at our cabin there. And we come up to this hole. It's a par three. And it's a foursome in front of us. And they're like, just go ahead and play through. And so I hit a shot, probably like one of my top five best par three shots of my life. Hit it to like 4 feet. Like, not probably closer than that. Like, kick and birdie. And the way the carts were parked, I had to go around them.
Not enough room.
And I just went around and I just like quickly hit the gas and like there was like a buried like tree stump and I just went around and like hit it and it just like kicked me like straight right, like right into a tree and we just like both fell out of the cart and these four old guys are like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I just like reversed and headed up to the green.
Did you even put your ball in?
I just kind of like went up and just like one handed and picked it up and took off. It wasn't my finest moment.
The listeners probably don't know, but Harv is probably in the top five worst golf cart drivers on earth.
Refuses to drive because he's so bad at it.
I've been driving a lot more lately, trying just to like improve, but no, I'm a bad golf cart driver.
Yeah. Not very good with speed consistency.
Yeah.
More of a jerky, herky-jerky guy, yeah.
Well, you just put your foot to the ground and just see what happens. That's how I've always done it.
Well, you would think that's how it's done.
Anyways, back to the news. Couple more here. Jeez, we got a lot of them. Stricker, you guys see that? Where his name, there was like this charity event, and all the advertisements for like, Steve Stricker gonna be at the charity event teaching lessons, and then Stricker never showed.
Oh, really?
And then so people were like, just carving him on social media, and then he finally responded, he's like, I was never supposed to be at a charity event this week. Like, here's my schedule. I'm not booked to do anything this week. So this guy just scammed everyone and said Stricker was coming, took their money, and just
that's whatever. That's actually a savvy move,
though. Got the wrong Stricker.
It's a savvy move. If you don't tag them in social media or anything like that and just say, yeah, this guy's coming.
Yeah.
Who's to say he's not coming? Really? Yeah.
Another one here, Bubba. Endorsed by a CBD MD company.
Yet another one.
Yeah. Even though the PGA Tour has come out and said that it's not allowed. So they can be sponsored. They can use it. If they get tested and there's THC, suspension or fine.
THC is the banned substance.
But lots of them can't guarantee that there's no THC even in their non-THC products.
Yeah.
Is the big thing.
But you got to think that's got to be getting changed soon too. I mean, well, all these states legalizing it, not all of them, but there's quite a few already.
And you would also think it's pretty straightforward to not have THC in it, but
yeah. But what's the big deal if it is? I mean,
yeah,
guys are drinking.
Who cares? I don't care.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
Last lighter note ones. We'll go to Phil Mickelson. You guys see him take batting practice today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is he in Minnesota? That was in Target, right?
Making his rounds.
That's at Twins Park.
I didn't even see it.
Yes, it is.
That was a metal bat, though, wasn't it?
No, it was a wood bat.
Was it?
I don't think it got out, though.
No, that first one got out.
Oh, I didn't think it got out. But I couldn't figure out why he was in Minnesota. What's he doing there?
Who knows?
If someone wants to enlighten us, that'd be great. I will after.
Last Phil one. I mean, we can ring the bell if you wanted to.
We haven't rung it yet. You're the guy running the show, so. Well,
it's tough to do the bell and run the show.
So.
Anyways, I'm ringing the bell. I'm just assume the bell is going to get rung here.
Yeah, just got to get the app.
Oh, there.
That was quick.
Bell's rung.
Quicker than most.
Last Phil thing, last in the news, that Keith, I actually wrote Kim Mitchell. I think that guy's name is Kim. That Keith Mitchell photo is Phil sleeping in the dressing room right in front of his locker.
Right.
Where he's like, do I wake him up or?
Yeah.
Or that was.
What are you ringing the bell for?
Why he was in Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
But anyways,
How are you going to find that out?
Oh, I'll find it out.
Thought that was a pretty good video of him. I mean, was it staged, do you think? Like, is this just Phil?
Yeah.
Phil's social media?
Why is he sleeping?
You think he's getting to the point where he's starting to stage videos and stuff?
Like, I don't know. Is he?
I don't know. I don't think he needs to. His content's already great.
Yeah, but how staged it? He also had new Phil Kwon Do. Or was that last week?
That was last week.
Phil was there promoting The Women's PGA Championship.
Oh, that was actually in the article. I should have known that. Yeah. Yeah, I should have known that one.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's in the news.
Wow, that was an aggressive in the news segment.
Yeah.
You really got to pick things up. Harv just put together 50 minutes of content for this pod.
He didn't put it all together. I was sending half that shit in the group chat anyway.
In the content chat.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I said I wanted to do it first. Turns out it's probably the longest combo of tournament recap and in the news to date. Yeah. So apologies to Jamie Sandlowski. If you're here for the interview, I'm glad you're still here. But it's time to get into the interview. Before we get into it, this interview is brought to you by Player Golf.
Ooh.
Use the promo code DriveTheGreen for 30% off. They also sponsor the podcast. But it's the Jamie Sadlowski interview. Fellow Canadian. Got to go with the Canadians here. We'll be back soon. Matty B with Drive the Green Golf here with Bronell and Harv. And today on the show, we have fellow Canadian, two-time world long drive champ, the pride of St. Paul, Alberta, Jamie Sadlowski. How are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. So for our Canadian listeners, as I mentioned, you're a fellow Canadian. Two-time world long drive champ in 08 and 09. Converted hockey player into golfer, and now you're pursuing your dream of playing on the PGA Tour. So for those that aren't familiar with your story, can you give us a little bit Cliff's Notes version of the road from hockey in Alberta to long drive to hopefully the PGA Tour someday?
Yeah, I mean, I played, obviously a hockey player growing up. It was always hockey in the winter, golf in the summer. I played 3 years in the Alberta Junior League.
We'll get to that.
During that time, okay. And during that time, I had won two junior world championships in 05-06. So that's kind of where I got my feet wet, just out of fluke, you know. Found long drive, and it was pretty good at a young age. And then from there, you know, I was driving my mom's minivan around Bonnyville playing junior hockey, and I was always going to World Tour. The year previous in 07, I had finished third with a separated shoulder from the hockey injury that happened 2 weeks before the finals, and, you know, finished good, finished third, and I thought, you know, if I go to this thing healthy for once, I think I can win, and that was in 08, so I didn't go to camp that year. I told my coach, I'm like, hey, man, I was the captain the previous year, I'm like, I'll be back, I'll be in shape, I'm training for this, I just, you know, I think I can win this thing, and sure and behold, I ended up winning in 08, never went back to go play hockey, because I wasn't a great student, so I probably would have went to school and taken something I didn't want to take and not want to be there and drop out, so... the stars aligned, and then backed it up in 09, and yeah, I was obviously very successful in long drive from really, you know, 2003 when I broke on the scene to when I left in 2015. I don't think I ever finished worse than fourth in the world in all those years. So, you know, I figured, you know, I was long drive was not getting stale, but it was time. I always wanted to play. I never had the opportunity, and I kind of wanted to do it while I was still young enough. So 2015, after I had lost out, I kind of beat myself in the semis, and I had some plans to go play in Australia and overseas in Asia, and I played a few events there and came back home and decided I was going to, you know, forfeit long drive and start playing full-time and really work on my game.
Yeah,
here we are today.
Do you find, are you still happy with that decision now? I mean, we've had, the last two world champs, Justin James and Maurice Allen on the show. Do you find that you're kind of getting out of long drive just as these, you know, the purses are starting to get bigger and they're starting to get a little bit more on, a little bit more notice on Golf Channel? Or are you happy with your decision and where you're at?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously when the Golf Channel took over, I believe their first year was in 2015, you know, they were going to, you know, put it in front of people and, you know, make the tour events televised and add a little money to the purse and everything like that. So, I mean, as far as timing goes, you know, I wish we had that when I was kind of, you know, giving her, and, you know, from 08 to 2015, but, you know, I kind of made my mind up in the spring of 2015 that I was going to be my last year. So, you know, I can live with it. I had a lot of success, and, you know, even though it wasn't main stage like it is now, I mean, it opened up a lot of doors for myself and, you know, to kind of help me push through to where I am right now. And definitely going back, I mean, no regrets for sure. I kind of gave it everything I had, and It was time for a new chapter.
Cool.
No, that's awesome. Harvey, I had a question for you. We watched a couple of your videos online, and one of them I found kind of interesting that you actually started golfing cross-handed. When you were doing those junior long drives, were you still cross-handed, or you had made the switch at that point?
No, I had made the switch. So I made the switch, I can't really remember. It was between 12 and 13. I kind of went through a girl sport, and I was hitting balls one day, and the greenskeeper that kind of got me started, he was the one. I used to bang balls in a field by my house, and his house was on the kind of far right side, and I started hitting it pretty far and started banging it off the roof of his house. He finally came over. He's like, "Can't do this anymore. I'm going to take you to the golf course, and, you know, there's a place for this. We have a driving range. That's where you're going to come." And, I mean, I was probably 6 or 7, and, you know, he helped me a lot with my game. And then, you know, when I think I was 12-ish when he's like, "Okay, you know, that's not conventional. You know, flip your hands over." That's kind of really when I started to create the speed. I think the suppleness of being able to hit a golf ball cross-handed gave me the ability to do what I do now. But, yeah, I mean, 12, 13 is kind of when I flipped, and that's when I, you know, I was playing with – I'd literally show up at the golf course when I was 10 years old, be there all day and play with 40, 50-year-old guys, and, you know, I was blown it by them then. So I kind of knew there was something going on. I mean, the days of being 10 or 12 years old on the range and people are gathering around to watch you hit balls, and I had no idea what I was doing or what was going on. But, I mean, people always ask, you know, did you always have speed? And, you know, it's something that whether I was shooting pucks in the backyard, that rink that my dad made, you know, I'd shoot 1,000 pucks a day. And I didn't really care about accuracy, but I did care how hard it was moving. So that was always something that I had, was just those fast twitch fibers that I could shoot a hockey puck, I'd hit a golf ball, and, you know. That was always something that I possessed from a very young age.
Yeah, was the driving range a little bit away from the rest of the course, or were you firing balls in every direction? You know, look out when Jamie hits the driving range, because this kid's firing balls in every direction.
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. I mean, we actually had a pretty sick range for a small town of 5,000 people. We actually had... So the far right side of the range, the fence was only like 180, but it was like a 40 or 50 foot fence. But they had these big satellites back there for all our TVs and stuff in town. And I remember just drilling balls off these satellites and getting in trouble. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I got in trouble from the head pro from, you know, you're not supposed to aim there. And I was just blown up. I broke a windshield, and that was kind of the last straw.
This is like something out of Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Who wants to see me hit it over the satellites?
Other than I skated a little bit better than he did, but yeah, his story pretty much sums up my life as well.
the west side of town's TV's out because Jamie's at the range.
Knocking my old power out.
So obviously, when we hear the backstory of playing hockey, first thing you got to do is Google the name, hit the hockey DB creep. Bonneville Pontiacs. So fun story, Bonneville Pontiacs, we're from Moose Jaw here in Saskatchewan. Couple of Moose Jaw guys have played there, some hometown Moose Jaw guys, as well as you played with Tyson Sievert, who played on the Tribe here in Moose Jaw. The other thing we noticed while diving a little bit deeper was I think he had about 100 plus penalty minutes in 20 some games. Were you feeling tough that year, or was it the way you played?
I don't know. Sure, with 99.50, that would get laced across backs, clothes.
Was it a coffee curve?
In there. No coffee curve. I had the old CHL3, I believe, the big old heel spatula. I think that was probably my last year. Was that my third year that I had all those pims?
I think we had
a couple gong shows up in Fort Mac and Grand Prairie. Those were givens. You're probably good for 20 minutes that night, whether you liked it or not. But, I wasn't tough by any means. But, you know, for a wiry guy, I was never very big. I was pretty efficient with my twig.
Yeah, and I think you got there. I was looking at the – because we knew some guys from Moose Jaw. You got there just before the two guys that we grew up with, one of which, his name was Tyler Statham, and I don't know if you know that name or not.
Yeah, I do know that name.
He had 350 PIMs in 30 games the year before he got there.
Yeah, he was a legend in Bonneville for numerous different reasons.
Yeah, so Yeah, that's funny that you just missed them though. But I'm sure you heard many a story. So another thing that we just kind of wanted to talk about, one of the big things that's kind of you've gained some notoriety for is your Grandpa Jamie videos. They got over 3 million views on YouTube right now. So for the people that don't know what we're talking about, you've kind of channeled your inner jackass or whatever you want to call it, maybe Kyrie Irving, with dressing up like an old guy and then hitting the range. I think you just did number two with Peter Jacobson there. Tell us how did you come up with that idea? Was it you or someone approached you with this idea? Or?
So it was actually the marketing team for Cleveland Trixon. You know, obviously the way marketing is now, everything's kind of done out of the box. Everyone's trying to be different. And they had originally thrown the idea at me and my agent. They actually spoke with him, and I kind of got the late relayed message, and he told me, you know, a few weeks before we were going to film, he's like, here's what they want to do. I think it's a great opportunity. I'm like, oh, no. Like, anyone that knows me knows I'm kind of shy. I don't say too much. And then when they threw this idea at me, I kind of made a deal. I was like, if we're going to do these videos, like, I'm going to need vodka because I can't act like a prick or anything like that. You know, it's just not my DNA. So ended up getting ready for the first one and had a couple of shots in the morning while I was doing my 6 or 7 hours of makeup, feeling pretty good. The first one turned out okay. And then we did 2.0 a couple months ago, and I think it turned out okay. I mean, it's different. I mean, the way the world is now, you got to be pretty careful on things you say and do. And, you know, we try to push the limit as much as we can. I know the last episode we did, or 2.0, we kind of, Peter almost got in a fight at a Roger Dunn's with a guy. I mean, people are just, you know, you got to be careful nowadays. But yeah, those are fun videos. I mean, I don't know if I have much of an acting career, but it's fun when you're dressed up as an old guy. And, you know, people, they don't know. Like, they can't tell. And I can pretty much say or do anything and get away with it because I'm old and, you know, nobody knows what's going on.
The first one was pretty good, though. That one guy was talking about, oh, you remind me of that James Sumlowski guy, and he's like, oh, he quit, he's not very good anymore.
I seen him the next day, and I kind of told him what happened. His face was red, I'll say that. I mean, he had no idea. Yeah, that was kind of funny. They actually host a long drive event there, so he's kind of, he knows what's going on. And,
he seemed like he was into it.
When he said that, I was, kind of pissed me off a little bit.
So with the Uncle with the Uncle Drew movie that just came out, are you guys going down that road too? Maybe a full motion picture? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can drink that much for a month straight.
Don't sell yourself short. And then my second question, you kind of answered a bit. What was there a bunch of stuff that just didn't make the camera because guys either were caught on to that? I've always wondered that with those guys who dress up.
Yeah, because they're using it as actual marketing for the new product or product. So there's a lot of things that are set, especially with Peter. I mean, for anyone that knows Peter knows that, you know, he can be a little off the cuff sometimes. So yeah, there's a few things that I don't know. I think last video we did, they used some pieces for their marketing that was, you know, proper. And then there was some cutting room floor clips that I think they released, but it's maybe not under the brand. But yeah, there's a lot of things in there that shouldn't have been said that got said that guy didn't make the cut.
All right, moving back to the game of golf. You've just secured your card on the Mackenzie Tour again for this summer. Are you excited to get back at the Canadian Tour to kind of work your way back, or have you set your schedule for this year? What does the summer look like for you?
Yeah, obviously getting my status back. You know, the first year, so 2 years ago was my first year of playing professional golf, pretty wet behind the ears. And,
right.
You know, for a guy that's never played professional golf, I ended up, you know, going to Q school and missed my card, had conditional, and ended up playing my way to status and then playing the rest of the year and almost kept my card, which was a positive thing. I didn't miss by that much, and it was a good start of the year. And then last year was just, you know, a complete nightmare, just from the word go. I missed the first two cuts of the those events by one shot, and everything just kind of went to hell after that. So last year was a learning curve. I made a few changes, kind of, you know, just working by myself. Now, I work a little bit with Gary McCord, Bob Tway. They're kind of my eyes, and just, you know, going back to being an athlete. So I've been playing well the last couple months, or really since the year ended. I came back out to Arizona here. I had gold medaled at first stage of Web Q School. I won a mini tour event right before Canadian Q School last month, and played pretty well at Q School. So, you know, my game's in good shape. I feel like I've made leaps and bounds in certain aspects of the game, but I think it's more so, you know, I've always been a guy that's just been very athletic, whether it was, you know, anything I've ever done. Overthinking doesn't do me any good. So I felt like last year was more so robotic. And, you know, when you have certain shots and you're thinking about how to hit them, not, you know, the process of hitting a shot versus just being athletic and seeing a shot and hitting it. So I've gone back to that. I'm looking forward to this year. I mean, I've obviously, unless you're a medalist, you don't get full status. So I get the first six events. And, you know, the way I'm playing right now, I'm confident that, you know, versus trying to make cuts this year, it's going to be, you know, trying to win. So
great.
I'm looking forward to getting underway here in Vancouver in a couple of weeks, I guess. Time's moving fast. But, yeah, game's in good shape. A lot of work in this year on the short game and wedge game. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to this year for sure.
Do you find it's hard to dial your game in at times where, you know, you're trying to hit a certain shot a certain distance and all of a sudden everything happens and all of a sudden you've overcooked the shot by, you know, 20, 30 yards because old Jamie comes back? Or is it have you kind of dialed that in?
I'm over that now. I mean, I've got the work I do every day with the wedges especially. I mean, my game is obviously a big step for me is 150 yards in, and that's something that I've really cleaned up. My wedge game's gotten pretty nice the last, you know, couple months. I've worked hard with that with Gary McCord, who's, you know, he's 7 years old, and, you know, to watch him get around the golf course and from 150 yards in, it's pretty damn good, and he's obviously watches the best players every week, so
great.
He knows what it takes, and we've spent, I mean, countless hours just developing different shots, off-speed shots with the wedges, different flights, different spin rates, so that's pretty much, you know, how my day looks. Every day I work a couple hours on the wedges, and especially up in Canada, I mean, courses are tight. It's not like you can hit the dog around that any golf courses a lot. Obviously, that's my advantage, so where it fits, you know, I'm going to hit it, but at the same time, you know, you got to be able to score, and that's something that we've put a lot of time in, and yeah, I mean, as far as standing there with a 7-yard wedge gun, I'm not going to hit it 100 anymore. I mean, I've learned how to flight stuff and take a lot off, and obviously the speed is there, but it's, you know, the proper times to use it, and
right.
A lot of it is just, you know, you got to go through the process of learning how to play golf and how to play a certain golf course. Every week's different, you know, and every week's different depending on how you're hitting it, so, you know, it's part of the growing process of becoming a better player, but something that I've, you know, leaps and bounds from, you know, even 2 months or 3 months ago, I've gotten a lot better. So we'll see how this year starts.
And
I'm confident in my abilities.
And you had mentioned there, just tying it back to kind of current events, you know, having a poor year and, you know, just making sure you stick to the process. Yesterday we saw Max Homa win a PGA Tour event after missing 20 or whatever it was, 21
15 of 17 or
yeah 15 of 17 cuts last year, and just, you know, trusting the process and things will come, as you know, as long as you put the work in and believe in yourself. So
I mean, it's a funny game. I mean, there's a lot of players that have gone through that, you know, just, you know, whether it's a year or two or 3 years of, you know, you just can't get anything going, and then all of a sudden something happens and, you know, you win a PGA Tour event. But I know a mutual friend of Max's, and he's like, I play with this guy, he's super pure. I mean, every time we play, he shoots nothing, and then he gets out there, and he, you know, just can't get it going. So I think once you get over that mental hurdle, which, in my mind, I've gotten over, and obviously every day you wake up, it's a little bit different, but it's golf's a hell of a game, I'll say that.
Yeah.
I mean, it challenges you every day, there's no question.
Mm-hmm.
No, for sure. So another thing we were kind of looking at it on your the Cleveland Srixon site there is we were kind of shocked at the actual stable of golfers that they have under their brand. I was just wondering which are some of your favorites to maybe golf with or be at events with out of those kind of quite a few big name guys.
Yeah, I mean, they're all great guys. I've been around Graham McDowell, who's an awesome guy. I mean, he's a guy that you'd love to play golf with. You'd love to go have some beers with. You'd love to just talk business with him. He's a great guy. Been around Keegan a little bit. You talk about a super pure ball striker. I mean, iron game is so sick. Drives it unbelievable. And then I spent a little bit of time with Cam Sample, as who plays the ball as well. Obviously, he's not on a club deal, but he plays the ball. And yeah, it's good to see firsthand. I mean, you got major champions, you got guys that you know have been out there a long time. So just to kind of see kind of, and even being a member here in Scottsdale, I mean, there's a lot of PGA Tour players, and it's just it's good to see the process, how they practice, play certain shots, and you pick up a lot off. They do. Obviously, they blend on the highest level week in and week out, so you do learn a lot. I mean, especially from a guy, I played golf my whole life, but I didn't play competitive golf. I mean, I could tell you how to hit it far, but when you talk about all dynamics of the game, I mean, you're always learning different shots and how to play, play the right shot, I guess, is one of the biggest keys.
For sure. What's it like seeing Keegan Bradley's pre-shot routine in person?
Oh boy. Well, fortunately we were doing a commercial and he's not a big fan of doing commercials, so everything happens pretty quick, but yeah, it's a little different. He's a great guy though. I mean,
yeah,
just some guys have certain mannerisms out there, and it's all about getting comfortable before you pull the pin. Fortunately with him, it just takes maybe a little bit longer than most.
Yeah, new grips, new grips every tournament. So we do this thing on Drive the Green called the Ultimate Foursome. You've probably maybe done it in the past before, but three people from any walk of life. Now, we're not talking just golfers, whether celebrities, other athletes, things like that. But who would you have in your Ultimate Foursome if you were going out tomorrow?
It would be probably me. It would be probably Tiger and probably Gretz, I believe, would be my Ultimate Foursome.
Okay, you, Tiger, and Gretzky?
And Brady.
Tom Brady, all right.
Yeah.
Three goats.
So, what did you think of the Masters?
I'll tell you what, I was flying that day, and it was killing me, so I had it on the radio a little bit. It was like when Tiger was on 16, just finished 16, made birdie on 16. He was about to hit that 17th tee shot. My radio cuts out, and I'm like, this is either going to be really good or really bad. And the radio cut out, and I didn't pick it up until he was holding that bogey putt on 18. But, I mean, pretty incredible. If you would ask me if I would have thought we'd see that again, I'd probably say no, especially at the Masters. I mean, if there's one place that he could probably win, it was there, but you kind of lose belief after a while. I mean, 2008 U.S. Open was a long time ago. You talk about 11 years off. And, a few good years where he won, whatever, five or six times, and, splash in a couple other wins. But the most impressive thing to me is the iron game that he possesses. I mean, to hit those shots to those greens, people are saying, well, it was a little softer out. He got away with a few things. But, I mean, hit those shots with irons and, come off, the chipping problems he had and not putting it like he used to, obviously. But, I mean, the iron game is pretty incredible.
Yeah, and
we all know how hard it is to iron it. And to throw it all together, and when the driving's not a question, I mean, geez, good luck.
Yeah, exactly. All right, time to get into some rapid fire here to end off.
Okay.
So, first one we got for you, what's the worst drive you've ever seen in a long drive event?
Don't have to name names.
You don't know names. Yeah,
don't throw
names.
Anyone under the bus here, but...
No names? Nope. Oh, okay, so rapid fire. It would have been like 2008. I was... Early round, some guy actually hit the score clock, which is 90 degrees right, probably 80, maybe not 80 yards, maybe 40 yards off the tee. I mean, toe shank, blew it right off the monitor.
Whoa.
So was the setup back then similar to how it is now in the qualifiers, where it's not very far off, just off to the left or the right, hey?
Yeah, and like, when I finished up, it was three or four guys on a tee. Back then, it was two guys on a tee. So it was, this guy was nervous as hell. I mean, I'm watching him. He can barely tee his ball up. I think it was maybe 0-9, so I just won. You know, you stand on the tee of the current champion, and he shanks this thing. And I mean, I love to do my own thing and not pay attention, but when I seen that ball go wide, I thought he was going to kill someone.
Did it take a while to tune yourself back in after that?
I mean, I had a chuckle, and I kind of looked at him like, what was that, buddy? But anyways, I ended up beating them in that round, I'll say that.
All right, I'm sure you get this a lot, but, I mean, we have to ask, you're on. What can we do to help ourselves get a little bit longer off the tee?
Might not be a rapid fire, but...
I mean, I always ask people the same question, like, how do I get more distance? Well, do you practice swinging fast? Most of them are like, well, no. I'm like, if you swing at 90 every day, you just think you're going to wake up and swing at 95, or, like, you got to practice swinging fast. So, I mean, that's number one. I mean, training, you know, I'm not going to tell someone to go to hit the gym and, you know, lose 20 pounds and get the gut out of the way, but, you know, just create speed from, everyone's a caster, just store the speed, make sure the speed's at the bottom. You know, as fast as I swing, I try to, you know, wait until the very last second to crack that whip at the bottom and make sure I'm not hitting it from the top. I mean, anytime you lose angle on top, you're obviously going to lose speed. So, you know, hold that angle to the last second, and then, you know, it's like cracking a whip. Can't crack it too early. You got to wait until the last second to give it the speed and give it the power.
All right.
No, for sure. So what's your swing speed when you're doing long drive versus what's your swing speed playing regular tournament golf with the driver?
My last year, which was 15, I think I averaged that world that year probably close to 150 miles an hour. playing right now comfortably, I'm probably like around 135 is where I know where it's going, and it's, you know, pretty flat, not spinny. So, yeah, I mean, it's dialed back 15, 20 miles an hour for sure, which feels like complete slow motion, though.
Yeah,
and skill would be one of the higher ones, right?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think anyone out there, I mean, Camp Champ's probably 130, but other than that, I don't.
Go ahead.
What's the degree of loft on your driver, yeah?
Back then, I was always a 6-degree guy, and right now I think 7.25.
Okay. Could you see? I think it was Maurice Allen that said he was using a 1 or something like that. Could you see yourself swinging one of those?
No, I mean you gotta be like 10 or 12 up on it. I was always like, yeah, it was like 3 or 4 up. You know, hitting golf shots versus hanging back at the old slipper down there.
Yeah, like sometimes when I see that, I can't believe what, you know, the tee height and just what's going on there, but.
Yeah, there's a lot of Jay-Z. So Zubac used to, Titleist made him a 0-degree driver back in the day.
Yeah,
which is pretty impressive. I mean, think about a putter. Think about knock 4 off of that. I mean, good luck getting it airborne.
Yeah, exactly. What's two part rapid fire? Your favorite course in Canada and your favorite course in Saskatchewan. It's okay.
Canada. I mean, I haven't played the Nat, but from what everyone tells me, it would be probably my favorite golf course, even though it's probably the hardest in Canada.
Okay. All right.
St. Paul Golf and Country Club. We got a spot there as well.
What's that, sorry?
The St. Paul Golf and Country Club.
For sure.
Oh, the cheap plug there. I get it.
Are you
open for?
are you playing the Edmonton stop on the McKenzie Tour this year?
I am, yeah.
Okay. There should be a lot of fanfare there for it then.
Yeah, we usually get some kind of Calgary events. Get them the old beers, and it's usually a dumb show out there, but good entertainment.
Yeah. So we kind of know what's in your bag with Cleveland Strixon, but can you give us an idea of, you know, what your driver, you know, your irons, your putter?
Yeah, so driver is the Cleveland Launcher HB. I have a 85-gram T1100 stock length, so 45 inches at 7.25. Don't carry a 3-wood. I've got a 218-degree UT with a nunchuck, and then the iron.
do you find that you have to pretty much use rebar as a shaft in order to
Yeah, you know, obviously the speed for me, I've taken my speed down quite a bit. Like, I'll swing a 6-iron 110 miles an hour versus probably, I don't know, 120 before. But, yeah, for me, it's all about ball flight. The Strixon XV golf ball that I switched to 2 years ago now, I mean, that's made a huge difference. It's brought the flight down. I'm able to control spin a lot better. It's a great ball in crosswinds. Unbelievable ball. Very, very underrated. That's a golf ball I can honestly tell you, even if I wasn't under contract, I would be playing that ball. You see a lot of hype. Like, Cam Champ plays that ball. He's a high-speed player. And, you know, we deal with a lot of spin and playing in crosswinds and stuff. You got to be able to control your nugget. So it's been an unbelievable golf ball for me.
Cool. Before I get to the next one, did you move your phone or something? Like, it got kind of, I don't know what happened there. Got a little bit wonky.
No.
Oh, that's better. So... yeah, I don't know what, that last question just kind of went a little off. Just couldn't hear it very well. Yeah. Okay, we got a couple left. The next one kind of ties into the worst drive ever, but we've had some success with this question in the past. So
have to ask.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever seen on a golf course? Whether it's with buddies, again, you don't have to name names. Whether it's with buddies or in a sanctioned event, like, we're talking weird
out there.
I was doing an event out in California. This is in my corporate days, and it was an event for retired NFL players. And I literally watched a guy drive off a cliff in California.
Like the cart?
The cart. Like, he thought it was maybe a downhill cart path, but it was off a cliff.
And he was still in it?
This guy, I thought he was dead, but he... ended up living.
There's a positive.
Yeah, I see him in the clubhouse after, and I've never seen a guy. I mean, it looked like he literally got run over by a truck. He had.
Like, it looked like he drove off a cliff.
Yeah, he figured it out. I mean, I honestly thought he was going to slide. I don't know if he was going to fall or what, but when I seen the car go off the cliff, like, I'm talking like a 40-foot drop, and there's rocks down there, and he absolutely shredded his car. I mean, how he made it through that, I have no idea, but add another concussion to that.
So you said it was retired NFL guys, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's one positive. He didn't end his career.
Head injuries before that.
Holy man.
Well, that actually ties in. Literally, next question on my list was... you've probably done many corporate events, being a long drive guy. Have you ever had anyone at one of these events outdrive you?
Not offhand. I mean, I've had guys come up to the tee. Well, corporate days are different because I sit on the tee all day for, you know, 6 hours. So I always let everyone go first. If there's a guy with, you know, those days are you just get through them. So, you know, I'll grab a standard club and swing at 135 and just hit little heel bleeders down there and keep them moving. But the only time I get a guy come up that could hit it, and, you know, having an extra few gears is always nice to have, I'll say that. But not offhand that I can remember.
Yeah,
no.
Did you ever find yourself getting too banged up at one of those and missing balls and stuff like that?
Oh, God. I'll tell you what, I've done probably close to 750 corporate events. And there's, you know, when there's booze set up on every hole, or you're sitting on a booze hole all day, and it's a long day. I mean, you're out there for 6 to 8 hours. They're playing a scramble, playing slow. Yeah, you get on the old sarsaparillas, and yeah, there's been a few runaways.
Okay, well, keep in mind, if you're not playing the event, I think there's an event on Labor Day in like Ontario. If you're looking for a week off, we run a pretty large Labor Day tournament here in Moose Jaw. So we'd love to have you. We'll get you banged up and we'll see what happens.
There's free beers, I'm probably in.
We can make that happen.
Go ahead.
Are you a Flames or an Oilers fan, or neither?
I'm unfortunately an Oilers fan.
Gotcha. Kenny Holland.
Yeah, I think we're employing 6 GMs right now. They're still on the payroll.
So,
gotta get all those alumni out.
Down against the cap because we're capped out. Alone.
Yeah, do you got a horse in the races for the playoffs right now?
You know, I like Columbus. Obviously, they're done. I'm watching this Colorado game right now. I like Carolina. I like them a lot.
Yeah.
I kind of like the underdog. I don't have a dog in the fight, but, I mean, I like Carolina a lot.
Yeah, those jerks, eh?
Yeah, bunch of jerks.
Yeah, damn jerks.
It's funny. I love that you're watching the game. Just to give you an idea of our commitment level for this interview, we turned the game off so that we could do this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
It's rare.
Yeah, it's definitely rare.
Yeah, usually you get a lot of long pauses.
I got two left. How many career aces do you have?
I got zero.
Oh, nice. You can join these two.
Oh, God. I've come closer on par fours and par threes. How am I doing?
Yeah, well, I got one, so sorry.
All right.
And last one. This is going to make or break this interview, I think. Are you a Coke or a Pepsi guy?
Oh, I'm a Coke guy.
Attaboy.
All day. Attaboy. Everyone is. Like, I don't know why you ask this anymore.
Yeah, I don't like stale soda.
Thank you.
So, we were talking about that the other day. Someone's like, this is flat. Well, yeah, it's Pepsi.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I love it. I love it. Anyway, that was, I mean, we had a ton of fun. We thank you for joining us on the show. We look forward to following your journey this year, and hopefully we can run into you along the way.
Sounds good, boys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Yep. Thanks to Jamie Sadlowski for joining the boys. Nice to have a Canadian on to chat a little bit about hockey. We had a common connection. It's pretty sweet that he knows who Tyler Statham is, because that guy was an absolute legend. But yeah, I mean, the guy owns his career, and he said, you know, I've, where he's come from and where he's going is exciting to see. I mean, he's been pretty big on social media with the Grandpa Jamie stuff. Yeah, I mean, I had a ton of fun with the guy. That story though, that
weirdest moment
never disappoints. At least the guy was retired, because if he wasn't, he would be. So,
yeah, that was a good one. I mean, I just thought the biggest takeaway for me was just his leaving long drive when it just like literally picking up, like going from being maybe you catch it, maybe never. Like, it's never on TV now. They show it all the time, and like the purses are getting bigger, and he just left it to pursue golf. I mean, it probably helps that he's kind of a brand ambassador too, but still, it's
I mean, he's commendable.
Gotta give him props for that. Yeah,
yeah, and that's where he made his mark, and now he's gonna make it somewhere else. And I mean, he's got his sponsors and stuff like that. So, big thanks to Jamie for joining us. But I think we should probably get into picks for the week now.
We should just mention he's also a Coke guy.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
We'll mention that every week, because they're all Coke guys.
But yeah, this week, the AT&T Byron Nelson. We already mentioned Tony Romo's playing in it.
Yep.
Trinity Forest in Dallas.
Second time this this tournament has been played at this course.
Yeah. And last year first. Aaron Wise won last year.
Yep.
On his way to Rookie of the Year.
Should we maybe recap last week's picks first?
Yeah. We will, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is a new leader. I don't even know
surprise
when
leader.
When I haven't led in this, I think it's been since week two of this season.
Something like that, yeah.
Been a while, yeah.
That I haven't been in the lead.
Same with me.
Yeah, something like that. Anyways, the Matty B picked up his 14th week win, so the scores are now 14 for Matty B, 13 for Harv, and yeah, that's a four.
Still a four?
Okay. For Bruno.
I got four a couple weeks ago.
Okay,
it was still three for a while there.
You're getting to the point where you might get cut because you're 10 off the lead.
Yeah. Yeah, good one.
Like, you might miss the cut here for the second half.
That would be great if we just, he's not allowed to make picks. He's allowed to make picks off air. Yeah. Off air. They don't even make it in the pod. And until he wins a tournament off air, then he can come back on the show.
Yeah. I don't mind that at all.
Anyways, Matty B had Rory 8th. Matsu 31st, and Joel Damon 2nd.
What a pick.
For a 14 average.
Thanks.
That's the pick of the year maybe right there.
Yep, I think so.
Corey Connors?
Stand by my statement.
Okay. He had a reason.
Everyone knew he was hot.
Yeah.
Everyone knew. Was, yeah.
Everybody knows.
Yeah. Because you guys took home all that money betting on him, right?
Yeah.
I had Jason Day, 24th, Webb Simpson, 18th, and Dan Berger. Daniel Berger is now known as 54th for a 32 average. Brownell had Rose with the reverse jinx for third. Phil Mickelson 74th with a mince cut, and Aaron Wise 18th for a 32 average.
Man, 3 and 18 I had, and then Phil missed the cut because he was sleeping in the locker room.
Yeah. Well, Wise is actually a pretty good pick. That 18 could translate into a good defending his title here this week. See if anyone takes him.
Is anyone going to take him? You got the first pick.
I get first picks.
Corey, quick, six Canadians
field. Oh, right. Yeah. Six Canadians in the field. Hearn, Hughes, Sloan, Silverman, Svensson, Taylor.
Yeah, no Hadwin. But
or Connors.
Hopefully a little
or
bit Connors. Better week than last week.
No Hadwin, no Connors.
Right.
Well, I don't even have to defend my picks. I'm not even going to give reasons behind them. I'm taking Brooks. I'm taking Matsu. And my dark horse, not all that dark, Abe Anser.
Yeah, not a dark horse at all. You're going back to Matsu, hey?
Yep, I am.
Playing with fire there.
Yeah, back-to-back weeks. We'll find out.
Well, I get to go second this week.
Oh, perfect.
No, you're not playing that. I got second.
You still have four wins.
No, I'm not making my picks with that. Sorry.
You have four wins.
I'm not making my picks.
Do you want me to turn it down? You got to turn it down?
Whatever, I'm taking Kevin Na. You don't. Who cares about my other two?
No, you can tell us. Here, I'll turn it off.
I'm taking Spieth, because obviously the tournament's in Texas.
Okay.
Kevin Na, T6 last year. His fingers are fine now. They don't hurt anymore. And I'm taking Seamus Power. Last three tournaments, 6, 5, and 13.
Seamus, I think.
I think it is Seamus.
Okay, are you going to play that for Harv because he finished third?
No, he has 13 wins.
13 wins. I'm well in the cut line here.
It's all luck.
It's all luck. This luck thing's getting old. Like, I could see if it was
it's getting old, all
right. I could see if it was like 4-1-1, maybe. But it's 14-13-4.
Lots of time left.
Anyways, it's so early.
It's so early.
I'll take Mark Leishman. Finished second here last year. No brainer.
Number one in the power ranks.
Yep.
If you're going to leave him for me, I'll take him.
Yep.
Yep.
Course horse, Texas course horse, Ryan Palmer.
Got to take him.
And friend of the pod, Jimmy Hartke.
Hartke.
Attaboy.
Nice. Couple T13s.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to take friends of the pod or Canadians.
That's right. That's a great idea.
Yeah, you cannot cool them off. Yeah,
but I love the answer pick, and I love
the hard cape pick.
I love the Palmer pick.
So, yeah. Should be noted, and we said it last week, and I'll say it again. Hard K's season turned when he met Adam Hadwin.
Yep.
It's the turning point.
Okay.
So, good luck to Jimmy this week. But yeah, that wraps it up. Big thanks to James Solowski. Good luck to all the friends this week, AT&T Byron Nelson. And then next week, PGA Championship Preview. We're sending a few peeps there. Can't wait. But until then, it is time to hit the clubhouse.